We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, verses 34 through 42, Dynasty of Shuman. So I will read all the way from 34 to 42, and then we will chant verse 42. Brahmani vikshaditi sum purusadena bhakshitam shuchant yatmanam urvisham ashapak vitasti. When the chaste wife of the Brahmana saw that her husband, who was about to discharge semen, had been eaten by the man-eater, she was overwhelmed with grief and lamentation. So she angrily cursed the king. Yasman me pakshita papa kamartaya patistaya tvapimitya adalat akita prakyatarshita. Oh, foolish, sinful person. Because you have eaten my husband when I was sexually inclined and desiring to have the seed of a child, I shall also see you die when you attempt to discharge semen in your wife. In other words, whenever you attempt to sexually unite with your wife, you shall die. Evamitas ham svatva patiloka parayana tadastini samitekana prasya partikatim katha. Thus the wife of the Brahmin cursed King Saudasa, known as Mitrasaha. Then, being inclined to go with her husband, she set fire to her husband's bones, fell into the fire herself, and went with him to the same destination. Vishapotarishabdante maitunaya samutyata vikyapya brahmani sapam mahishyasa nivarita. After 12 years, when King Saudasa was released from the curse by Vishishta, he wanted to have sexual intercourse with his wife, but the queen reminded him about the curse by the Brahmani. Thus he was checked from sexual intercourse. At urdvam satatya jashti sukham karmana praja shista stat anukyata mariantyam prajam atat. After being thus instructed, the king gave up the future happiness of sexual intercourse and by destiny remained sonless. Later, with the king's permission, the great saint Vasishta begot a child in the womb of Mariyanti. Savai sapta samakarpam abhibranna vijayata chikane shamo shano taram tasya sa shmakas nidakatyate. Mariyanti bore the child within the womb for 7 years and did not give birth. Therefore, Vasishta struck her abdomen with a stone, and then the child was born. Consequently, the child is known as Ashmaka, the child born of a stone. Ashmaka baliko jagaya stribhi parirakshita nari kavacha ityukta nikshatre munako pavat. From Ashmaka, Balika took birth. Because Balika was surrounded by women and was therefore safe from the anger of Parashuram, he was known as Narikavacha, one who is protected by women. When Parashuram vanquished all the Kshatriyas, Balika became the progenitor of more Kshatriyas. Therefore, he was known as Mulaka, the root of the Kshatriya dynasty. Tito dasharatastasma putra aidavidis tata raja vishvaso yasya kavangas chakarat yabhut. From Balika came a son named Dasharat. From Dasharat came a son named Aidavidi. And from Aidavidi came King Vishvasaha. Son of King Vishvasaha was the famous Maharaj Katvanga. So this is our verse. Yo devarartito daityan.
Yo devarartito daityan.
Avadit yutitur chaya. Murtam ayur gyatvaitya.
Murtam ayur gyatvaitya.
Svaparam santate manaha.
Svaparam santate manaha.
Sampara
Sampara.
Avatit, killed. Yuti, in a fight. Durjayaha, very fierce. Muhurtam, for a second only. Ayu, duration of life. Gyatava, knowing. Itya, approached. Svapuram, his own abode. Sandate, fixed. Manaha, the mind. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Kadvanga was unconquerable in any fight. Requested by the demigods to join them in fighting the demons, he won victory. And the demigods, being very pleased, wanted to give him a benediction. The king inquired from them about the duration of his life and was informed he had only one moment more. Thus, he immediately left his palace and went to his own residence, where he engaged his mind fully on the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport. The example of Maharaj Kadvanga in performing devotional service is brilliant. Maharaj Kadvanga engaged himself for only a moment in devotional service to the Lord, but he was promoted back to Godhead. Therefore, if one practices devotional service from the beginning of his life, surely he will return home back to Godhead, without a doubt, asamshaya. In Bhagavad Gita, the word asamshaya is used to describe the devotee. There the Lord himself gives this instruction. Maya saktamana parta yoga nyunjamarashya samshayam samagram mam yatha gyasasitat shinu. Now hear, O son of Pritarjuna, how, by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Gita 7.1. The Lord also instructs, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvata chakta deham punarjama naityamamiti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, Arjuna. Gita 4.9. Therefore, from the very beginning of one's life, one should practice bhakti yoga, which increases one's attachment for Krishna. If one daily sees a deity in the temple, makes offerings by worshipping the deity, chants the holy name, personality of Godhead, and preaches about the glorious activities of the Lord as much as possible, he thus becomes attached to Krishna. This attachment is called asakti. When one's mind is attached to Krishna, maya sakta mana, one can fulfill the mission of life in one's human birth. If one misses this opportunity, one does not know where he is going, how long he will remain in the cycle of birth and death, and when he will again achieve the human form of life and the chance to return home back to Godhead. The most intelligent person, therefore, uses every moment of his life to render loving service to the Lord. Mukam karoti vachalam langate girim yakipantamam bande sigram tinatavinam om agyana tivirandasya gyananjara shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamai shigrave namah. So here, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of the moment. Every moment is very important and very rare as a human being. We're so fortunate to have this human body Therefore, every moment should be used properly, should be used to gain attachment to Krishna. To go back to Godhead, we have to understand and accept Krishna, as this Prabhupada quotes, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. So there's basically 4 points in this purport. The first one is to, we should understand Krishna and accept him. The second point, how to increase our attachment to Krishna, because we need attachment to Krishna to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada gives us a 4-point program in the purport. And the third point is why we should surrender. We should surrender, it's very important. Kadvanga Maharaj surrendered. And the fifth is going back to Godhead. So the first point, to understand Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of chapter 2, verse 72 of Bhagavad Gita, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Two things. That's all we have to do. Then Prabhupada says, Kadvanga Maharaj attained a state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering unto Krishna. So, understanding and accepting. What does this mean to understand Krishna? Here in the verse that Prabhupada quoted, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities. So we have to understand Krishna's transcendental appearance. He doesn't take birth like us. He's unborn, but he takes his birth. So if we understand this, this is basically theoretical knowledge. This is jnana. And if we accept it, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Lord and I'm his servant. That becomes practical. That becomes vijnana, or practical application. So if we understand, if we read Bhagavad Gita, if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then we need to practically apply it. And what is that application? If you read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender to me. So that's the application. If we read and we hear, then we surrender to Krishna at every moment. And Prabhupada, he gives us a little concession. Krishna is very, very strict. He says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance does not take his birth again. And Srila Prabhupada in his lecture on this verse said that even if you don't understand Krishna, if you just try to understand Krishna, you will be liberated. The Prabhupada is very, very merciful. He gives us a little concession. So how to accept Krishna? Okay, I want to accept Krishna. Means we have to adopt a service attitude. I'm a servant. And we have to chant Hare Krishna like a child crying for its mother. And we have to mean it. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his first lectures on chanting the holy name, he said, Mother Hara helps the living entity achieve the grace of the Lord Hari. So who is Mother Hara? She's Radharani, Rukmini in this case. But Radharani can be whoever you worship, Radharani, Rukmini, whoever you like. She'll pick you up. If you cry loud enough, like a child crying for its mother, she'll pick us up. And we will get the grace of Krishna, means she will offer us to Krishna. So we want Radharani to offer us to Krishna, Rukmini to offer us to Dwarkadish. So we have to cry like a child for its mother when we chant Hare Krishna. And so the meaning is, please engage me in your service. So Prabhupada shortened it to, please accept me. Please accept me. And if you chant very nicely with attention, Krishna will come. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant very nicely with attention and Krishna comes, he'll say, please accept me. And this is a very important thing in our life, to accept Krishna. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, we have only one problem. When we wake up in the morning, we think, no, I got to do this, I got to solve this problem. No, only one problem. What is that problem? Srila Prabhupada said, our only problem is how to accept Krishna. He's coming in so many ways, sometimes like a thunderbolt, sometimes like a rose, so we have to accept him. So that's the first point, understanding Krishna. The second point, how to increase our attachment to Krishna. Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada says, you have to practice bhakti yoga from the beginning of your life. Of course, most of us didn't do that. But anyway, we did practice bhakti yoga, and every moment counts. Every obeisance, every mantra, every mouthful of prasadam that we eat is being put into our spiritual bank account. And when our bank account becomes full, then Krishna is purchased by us. So, how to get this full bank account? Prabhupada gives us a 4-point program in the purport. First of all, he says, if one daily sees the deity in the temple, number 2, makes offerings by worshipping the deity. Number 3, chants the holy name of the personality of God. And number 4, preaches about the glorious activities of the Lord as much as possible. He becomes attached to Krishna. So this attachment is called asakti. And when you're attached, then you can fulfill the mission of life. So here we have 4 things. 2 points are deity worship and 2 points are about chanting and hearing and preaching. So we can categorize that into the Pancharachiki path and the Bhagavata path. Pancharachiki path means deity worship, and the Bhagavata path, chanting, hearing, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam. So I would like to share with you today some prayers, a couple of prayers of Shukadeva Goswami, where he talks about this, and he will illuminate these points for us. The first one is from Canto 2, Chapter 4, Verse 15. Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam yat vandanam yat shavanam yat arhanam lokasya sadya vitunoti kamsham tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha. Translation of that verse is, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So first he says, yat kirtanam, yat smaranam. This is, we always hear, chant Hare Krishna, glorify, meditate, hear, remember. But then he says a third thing, which is not included usually in the 9 processes of shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, yat ikshanam. Ikshanam, that's a different one, that means see. You should see. So Prabhupada, in his lecture on this verse, he said, if you just sit in front of the deity and go on seeing the deity, bus, do nothing else, just see the deity, how nicely dressed is Krishna, how nicely dressed is Radharani, Rukmini? He said, that's enough. You can go back to Godhead. And so sometimes you can't chant, you can't hear, he said, just like the children. He said, they can't meditate, they can't remember, they just sit down and see Krishna. And here is Krishna, here is Radharani. And so that's good enough. Then, ikshanam also includes preaching. Prabhupada, in his lecture, he explained book distribution. In book distribution, they will say, okay, let us see the book. And immediately he'll see the picture, Radha and Krishna. Yad ikshanam, and if they open the book, Prabhupada said, they'll see more. Yad ikshanam, and if you can't chant, your mind's too disturbed, here's the deity, just see the deity. Now, I can tell you a story about seeing the book. That was happened maybe a year ago in Eastern Europe. I traveled in Europe and different places. So I heard this story about somebody who saw Bhagavad Gita. So let's hear. One devotee was distributing a book, and he sold the Bhagavad Gita to someone, and he took it home. And that person's roommate was a drunkard. He was always drinking all the time, very much, so much. But he picked up the Bhagavad Gita and he read one line, the soul is never, the soul does not die, only the body dies. And he threw it, nonsense, rubbish. This is really bad. I will not read this book. But then, one day, he drank too much and he had a near-death experience. He became unconscious. And who did he see? The Yamadutas. And what did they do? They took him to Yamaraj, Lord of Death. So Yamaraj said to him, you are a very sinful man. You must suffer so much. What are you going to do now? And then he remembered that one line he read from Bhagavad Gita. Oh, the soul doesn't die, only the body. Immediately he came back to life, back to consciousness. He said, what was that? He said, I better read that book. Got the Bhagavad Gita, picked it up, read the whole book, found the address in back of the book, went to the temple and joined, became a brahmachari. But you know, sometimes devotees have troubles in devotional service and they don't stay. So this one, after 6 months, he said, this is really austere, this brahmachari life, I cannot tolerate this, I need a drink. So he left the temple, he went to the bar, and he was drinking so much, whole day, night came. The bartender said, so we're closing, you have to leave now. And then he said, what are you going to do now? He got such a fright because it was the same thing Yamaraj said to him. And he ran back to the temple and became a good brahmachari after that. So, yeah, it's very powerful. If you see Krishna, if you see the book, if you read one line, my friend Radha Kund, she's a book distributor her whole life in India. Now she's in Vrindavan. And she always reads a line from the book when she sells a book to someone. So they get that benefit. So ikshanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vandanam. And if Prabhupada says, if you're still more intelligent, you can offer prayers. And shavanam, someone will hear, someone will chant. So that's preaching. You'll become Krishna conscious. Arhanam, he says, if you're expert and trained, then you can do arhanam, or deity worship. So if you do all these things, what will be the benefit? Nokasya sadyo vichanoti kamasham, that all the contamination in your heart will be washed off. So we may think, you know, how long is it going to take? So Sukadeva says, sadya, immediately. Immediately it will be washed off. So then, actually, here we have the benefit of seeing Rukmini Dwarkadish and Jagannath and Gorni Thai. If we see the smiling face of Krishna, Kapiladev says in Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse 35, if you see the smiling face of Krishna, you will be liberated. It's so wonderful. And in the Purport, Prabhupada, of course, is always more merciful. He says that when you go and see the deities, then actually you're imperceptibly liberated, even against your will. You may not want to be liberated, but you can't help it if you look at Rukmini Dwarkadish and Gordi Thai. You'll be forced to be liberated. So the next, I'll just share one more prayer of Shukadeva with you. That is verse 2, 4, 16. And these verses are very interesting. There is a connection between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Gita is like the seed. Bhagavatam is like the plant that it grows the seed, it expands the seed. So verse 15 that I just told you is connected to Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Madmanabhava Madbhakto. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Now this next verse is connected to Sarvadharma Paritaja, give up everything and surrender to me. So let's hear, and but there is an upgrade in this verse in Bhagavatam. So let us hear, what is the upgrade? Shukadeva says, let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again to the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna. Highly intellectual people, simply by surrendering to his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress toward spiritual existence. So, in Gita 18:66, it says, you surrender, I'll protect you from all your sinful reactions. That means past. Now this verse, Shukadeva says, I'll protect, Krishna says, he will be relieved of all attachments to present and future existences. So it's expanded to help protect you from present and future attachments. Isn't that nice? You should read Bhagavatam, it's really good. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, he quotes these verses also, 18:64 to 66. But he gives a very sweet translation, one that we don't normally hear. So listen to this. My dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me. Therefore, only for your good, I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions. It is simply this. Become a pure devotee of mine and give yourself to me only. And I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So, this is a very wonderful purport. And unfortunately, we don't surrender. I have to find one more page. Here it is. I got mixed up. He He says, I'll promise you full spiritual existence by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. Now, isn't that a sweet translation, that give yourself to me, more like a lover and a beloved? So we have to surrender by reading, and this is the vigya, we surrender to Krishna. By reading Gita, we'll want to surrender to Krishna. Krishna's calling us, give yourself to me, sarvadharma pritaja, mame kam sharanam vraja. Why should we surrender to Krishna? We may say, why Krishna? Why? So many things I'd rather surrender to. Prahlad Maharaj explains in his prayers some good reasons why we should surrender. First of all, we're trapped in this world by our mind. Our mind is our worst enemy because it's trapping us with so many desires. Second, we're being crushed by time. And if you don't believe it, just wait till you hit old age. But I think even the students are crushed by time because they have their exams, they have so many things to do. So Prabhupada says in the, he quotes this, Sarvadharma Parityajan, that purport of prayers of Prahlad, all of human society must take advantage of this offer and thus be saved by Krishna from the danger of being crushed by the wheel of time, the wheel of past, present, and future. So how do we, if we're serious, Prabhupada said, that we should pray to Krishna, please pick me up. Please engage me in your service. Like, I nanda tanuja kinkaram patina mam. Please pick me up, I'm really suffering here. And then Prabhupada takes Krishna aside. He said, okay, but why shall I pick you up? And then Prabhupada says, well, I surrendered, that's why. I surrendered to you, I rebelled against you, and I was suffering, and now I realize I'm in a difficult situation, I surrender. So we should surrender because we're being crushed, and because another reason is this whole world is temporary. I saw, actually, I visited Churchgate, not Churchgate, Christchurch in New Zealand. And I went there 1 year, it was very beautiful, fresh air, everything. Next year, they had an earthquake, and the whole business district was destroyed in 45 seconds. And they had a film of it. It looked like an atom bomb. All the smoke was rising. All the buildings were falling down. And I went there preaching one time. I had a little experience of it. It was just a tremor. I was sleeping. I went to sleep at 9:30 at night. And I heard, like, I thought it was the four children running over me on the top floor. But then the house started swaying back and forth. And I realized it wasn't the children. Was an earthquake. So yes, it can happen, we can finish. But the funny thing was I went out of my room and I saw everyone was on the computer because the game there is in the earthquake zone, they all guess what it was, like 4.5, 4.7, it was 4.6. And all the kids were there and they were saying, I won, I got 4.6. So they kind of used to it in the earthquake zone, I wasn't. But Krishna comes as death. So, you know, it's temporary, the world is temporary. Even you think, okay, no problem, I will stay here, but death will come, and you'll be finished. And so another reason why not to stay here, why we should surrender is that there's no happiness. It's like a mirage in a desert. Prahlad says this body is, what's the value? It's just the source of so many diseases. So Yudhisthira Maharaj in Mahabharata, he was asked one question, of course, the famous question you all know, anyway, I'll tell you another question. What is the news? What is the news of this world? And so Yudhisthira answered, the news is that this world is like a big frying pan, and we're all being fried. And some of us are well done. And some of us are very well done. So this is the news. And the sun is the fire. And the fuel is days and nights. And guess who is the cook? Time. Time is the cook. We're all being cooked. So therefore, not good to stay in the frying pan. We should go back to Krishna. Now, if we surrender, now there's one good reason. He gave some negative ones, and he gave one good one. If we surrender, we will get causeless mercy of the Lord. He said, I was born in a low family full of passion and ignorance, and you didn't give such mercy that you gave to me. You didn't give it to Brahma, Shiva, or Lakshmi, but you never put your lotus hand on their heads, but you put it on mine. So Prabhupada said, this is the meaning of causeless mercy. This mercy can be given to anyone, doesn't matter who you are in this world. So if we follow the process of deity worship, chanting Hare Krishna, we'll become attached, we'll go back to Godhead. Now, my last thing is about back to Godhead, and I want to share with you something that I got, I have to admit, off of Facebook, but it was, I was following one of my friends who lives in Mayapur. Her name is Manarupa, and she was leaving her body, and it's very, very interesting to follow, because she was very, very happy. Her husband was happy, her sons were happy, and everybody was happy. Usually at this time, nobody's happy. I was following it, and people on Facebook, they make comments, you know, this, that. Here is the answer of her husband to the different various comments, which are very enlightening for us. Dear friends and well-wishers from around the world and beyond, the cascade of love and affection that is coming from your loving hearts is overwhelming. Manurupa is so happy and blissful. She said to me, "You gave me so many wonderful days, taking me to the most amazing places in this world, and gave me the most loving friends and family. I had so many wonderful times. But this by far is the best time of my life. You saved the best for last." Can you believe it? He said that she's fully conscious, she's in bliss, she's in samadhi, and she stopped taking solid food so she can prepare herself more to go back to Godhead. And she's just meditating, mind is equipoised, focused in the holy name, the form and pastimes. Devotees are coming and doing kirtan, so our house is full of transcendental vibration. So the Lord is here, he's giving her so much love. But we want her eternal well-being, not the temporary health. Many people sympathized and said, "We pray she is well soon." And I answer, "Yes, yes, she will very soon be perfectly well forever." Other friends said, "I feel very sad to see Mataji in this condition." And I said, "Who is sad? She's blissful, we're blissful. The body, the boat that was given to cross the ocean has done its service. She crossed, it's glorious. She doesn't need the boat. So it's disintegrating into the elements again. Because the material energy can't go to the spiritual realm. The body, the chakras, the mind, intelligence, ego stay put on this side. Only the soul arrives and devotee gets his eternal spiritual siddha sarup to serve the spiritual transcendental body of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan." Other friends said, "I hope she recovers soon." Yes, we lost our spiritual identity. We misuse our free will. We want to enter this world away from Krishna. We had so many births and deaths in the shadow of the spiritual world. Now she's recovering her spiritual identity. Again, so yes, she will recover soon. Other friends said, "I pray she may rest in peace. We are not the body. We don't enter into a coffin. Only the body does. And the body is not resting. It's just becoming dust. For us, the party is just beginning." She's going to go join the party. They're going to have a party now, you know, eternal party. And it's really true, because I was watching, they posted some videos of kirtan. They were having kirtan and people were sitting around the bed like, you know, massaging her hair, massaging like. And she was sitting up and she said, "Come on, dance, dance." And then everybody was just happily dancing, you know. It was like sending off party, you know, like when you say goodbye, somebody leaves your temple or something. So she wanted to join the party, but she didn't want everybody else to be sad. She wanted them to join the party too. So we have that chance in this life to join the party. Others said, "Don't give up on life." But life is eternal. We can't give it up. Only the material has to be given up, willingly or unwillingly. Others said, "There's a doctor who has saved many lives." I said, "Doctors can't save lives. Only Krishna can save our life from this material world. He and his representatives can save us. Mechanics can repair the car. They're not saving the car. The car is not conscious. So at this point, the supreme doctor is Krishna and the medicine, the holy name." Other friends said, "May you have strength in this time of difficulty. By Krishna's grace, he sent his divine grace, who gave us perfect knowledge of the soul. So nothing is difficult. Every day I'm feeling more grateful I was given the association of Matarupa for 25 years. Together we circled the world sharing Krishna with all of you. I'm grateful Lord Chaitanya is bringing her closer to the protection of his golden aura. My sons and I have been preparing for this moment. Auspicious omens are all around us. Om Tat Sat. Please don't feel offended. I've been asked how we are, and I'm honestly explaining to you our lucky situation. I read your messages to Matarupa daily. She listens with a sweet smile and her hands on her heart. So she left in February on Ekadashi, the second day of the Kirtan Mela. And before she was Mangalarti time, she asked her husband, are the deities open? He said, yes. She asked, is it a good time to leave? He said, yes. And she left. And she went back to God. So it's possible. She was not a Prabhupada disciple. She was a mother. She was a wife. She was a great devotee, actually, a hidden devotee. We have many hidden devotees amongst us. We don't know who they are. But she showed it at the time of death. And many, I was watching so many Maharajas were coming to her bedside. I was seeing the videos, and they're all telling her, okay, just go. You know, all of them. Why did they come, you know? She must have been something very special. So we can all do it. It's in our hands. Just follow Prabhupada's program, and we can also go back to Godhead in this life. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions, comments, you can ask at this point. I think her husband is Spanish, Perlana Shinga. And she is German. Perlana Shinga was her husband. And
I don't know if you know the story, but would you like to, if you want to.
But the other one, the Spanish one.
Yeah, if you want to mention the.
What's her name?
The realization she was going through. I mean, well, if the Spanish was her husband, I heard a story that she was relating when she was about to leave. Those
What I heard was that, yeah, there was the Spanish Mataji and she was leaving her body. She became unconscious and then she came to consciousness and she said, oh, Krishna came to get me, but I didn't go with him. Then, again, it happened. She was losing consciousness. She said, oh, Radharani came now, and then she left. That's what I heard. Yeah. So one time somebody asked, who's going to come and get you? I said, well, you know, it can be, usually it's Prabhupada for everyone who follows Prabhupada. But it could be anyone. It could be Lord Chaitanya. It could be anyone. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Hi.
That is right. Thank you very much for a wonderful presentation, especially touching on Shukadeva Goswami's prayers, which I think are very neglected.
Shukadeva Goswami's
prayers. So many other prayers, but not Shukadeva. So thank you. I was in ecstasy listening to you disciples.
Thank you.
We know, like you mentioned, the story about the other Gurus. You're simple, you take it to the other. You know, like you just said, you're going to Krishna, either Prabhupada or Krishna, or Lord comes to get you. But I've always wondered, if you're going to stay in this world, you're not eligible to go to Yamaraj. In other words, if you're going to go, who comes to get you to take you to the next destination, either to the next devotee body or to heaven?
Yeah.
Have you ever read anything in your
life? I haven't read anything, but I have heard about devotees who left their bodies. And like, I know one example of one devotee Prabhupada came to get. I know two examples. But they took birth again. One took birth in Govardhan, and one took birth he didn't take birth from devotee family, but devotees adopted him. So at birth. So those are the two examples. I know that they, at the time of death, Prabhupada did come to, actually I know three, Prabhupada did come to get them, but they took birth again as devotees, or as Brijbasis. I mean, I can't really verify it, but I mean, I just know from experience. That Prabhupada will come. So that was Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes we need to take birth again. Actually, I know, I heard one interesting one. there was somebody who did a past life regression. One of my friends, I don't know if he's my godbrother, but he does past life regressions. And he did one for a devotee lady who was a book distributor somewhere. And she was having health problems, so he took her back. And it appears she was a monkey in Vrindavan in her last life. So Prabhupada said all the animals will go back to Godhead in Vrindavan, right? So she said, yeah, I was a monkey, but I was a special monkey. He said, yeah, I know you're special. He said, no, no. She said, no, I like to hear Bhagavatam. So I was a special monkey. And so then he said, okay, so now let's go to your death. And she said, okay, yeah. I went to Krishna, and Krishna told me, I want you to take one more birth in this world to join my Leela. So she became a book distributor in ISKCON. So anything can happen, but especially our consciousness, where our consciousness is, if it's with Prabhupada, if it's with some deity. I know I had a near death and I had no consciousness, you know, I was completely, my memory was gone. I have very good memory, but I didn't even know. I could have been a molecule or atom for all I knew, you know. But I was conscious. And so near death, but then in that time, then I saw the holy name come in, you know, like multicolored, like a screensaver. I didn't know what it was because I had no identity, I had nothing. But then because I had been chanting my whole life up to then, I started chanting. And then after I started chanting, my memory came back. Oh yes, I am Narayani Dasi, yes. And it appears I left my body, but how come I didn't go back to Godhead? How come I'm in the void? This is not good, I'm in the void. But actually, there is no void because the holy name was there. So anyway, I came back to preach, I guess, and tell the experience. But it's even if you forget, Krishna will remember you, and he'll come in different forms. He may come as the holy name, he may come in this form, Rukmini Dwarkadish, any form, whichever form you're very attached to, he'll come and he'll save you. So yeah, you may have, even though it's your last birth, Krishna may want you to take one more and help him out in his Leela. So this is Krishna's Leela. We're so fortunate to be in the Leela of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. Okay, any other questions or comments? Jai. All glories to you.